Good afternoon. Jesus loves Mondays. The Lord was speaking something to me this morning really clearly, and that's why we're not in John 6. We skip a bunch of chapters. But I want you to really bless me. So I'm going to read those verses again, but I'm going to pick up a few verses earlier so you get the context. So Jesus is just explaining some things to them. He's been talking to them about the fact he was leaving them, but he's also beginning to change the fact that if I don't leave you, then I can't come live in you by the Holy Spirit. So it's better if I leave you, because as good as it's been having me with you, it'll be better with having me in you. And in verse 25, he says, "These things I've spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming when I will speak no more to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and And I do not say to you that I will request of the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world, and I'm leaving the world again and I'm going to the Father." Man, when I read this earlier, it just stopped me and I began to cry, because when he went to the Father, he took me with him. It just blows my doors away that I get to experience his experience with the Father. I get to participate in his life, his fellowship. Not just a fellowship. I'm not just included. I'm included into what he experiences. Just amazes me. That was extra. His disciples said, "Do you now speak plainly and are not using figurative speech anymore? Now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. By this, we believe that you came from God." And Jesus answered them and said, "Do you now believe?" And the next statement he makes is in light of the fact that so you now believe. Now, you haven't seen anything yet, because what they're about to face is going to be the biggest test they've ever faced. He said, "Do you now believe? Behold, an hour is coming and has come for you to be scattered, each of you to his own home, and to leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me." Isn't that amazing? Don't you love that? Jesus was never lonely. I'm never alone. Yesterday was my 40th anniversary, but it's been over three years since Livia died. But I'm not alone, because Jesus is with me, actually in me. Jesus doesn't do that lonely thing. So, well, that's just normal humanity. I understand that is the normal consequence. I think if Adam was away for Eve for a day or two, he didn't get lonely. You say, well, that was before the fall. Well, Jesus has come to do the undoing of Adam. So we don't have to settle for stuff just because we think that's being real. Jesus is real. He's the way. He's the truth. And he's the life, because he's the truth about true life. "These things I've spoken to you, that in me," now notice what he says, not just because of me, "but in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." So they're going to face some things that are going to look disastrous, and they did scatter. All of them fled. Only John came back to stand with a couple of the ladies at the foot of the cross. And yet these words that Jesus spoke, and again, of course, when Pentecost came, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, they did know the peace of Jesus. And I think the words encouraged them too as time went on, that everything you're facing, I've already said I've overcome the world. It's going to be okay. That even though it seems like it's all fallen apart, the most important things are being created in the darkness. You know, we've said this before, that God works in the light of day, and it's always wonderful when he does, because we can see it happening. But he creates masterpieces in the darkness. And that's something you need to always hang on to, that when things seem to be so hard, so difficult, nothing seems to be happening the way it should. It's just, they were being scattered. It's just chaos. It's just pain. That God's at work doing things you can't see, bigger than you can imagine. Now, when I saw that, I was just reminded of how the whole thing started. This is because Because one of the things, like, people sometimes will say, well, like, Chuck, like, you always seem to have, like, aggravating optimism and hope. I'm a realistic from Christ's perspective. But you see, there's something enchanting about the Word of God, because there's something enchanting about Christianity. This is Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void. The word formless is a Hebrew word that means wild or chaotic. And then void is just waste. It's like just chaotic, wild waste. And darkness was over the surface of the deep. So just think of this darkness over the ocean, and it's just this wild, chaotic stuff going on. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that there was light, and the light was good. And you know, this goes on and on and on until at the end, when he creates man, he says, very good. So he keeps going, good, good, that's good, then very good. And so the question I asked, Lord, why did you do it that way? I mean, why did God create something or allow something or there be something that, again, why did he create this thing that's wild and chaotic and dark and kind of scary? And then out of that brought light. Why didn't you just go light and there's light? And a dark background so that you have light, so you can see it's light. Why didn't you just go birds? There's birds. I mean, why was this always this void, but particularly here, why was there this dark waste thing? He didn't have to do it that way, y'all. He could have just made it look just right from the beginning. Why did he do it this way? Because, see, in the purpose of earth was our purpose. God's dream that there would be a creature, a people, that would participate in his life. Because God's love, and love wants to share, wants to give, to experience all that he is, all that he has. That was his dream. Earth was for that to be played out in that realm. It was created for us. And so when the Lord says that he knew us before the foundation of the world, it says that Jesus was the lamb slain in Revelation 13:5 before the foundation of the world. So the creation of man was something that was in God's heart before this, right? The cross was already there before this, because the fall didn't take him by surprise. And boy, you talk about a chaotic mess ever since the fall of man, right? All the stuff that we see all the time played out in front of us, it's so cruel and harsh, is all because of the chaos, the wildness of the fall. So I believe with all my heart, and I never saw it before, like, why did God do from the beginning like this? Allow there to be everything start with a canvas of chaos, wildness, waste, darkness. But it says the Holy Spirit was hovering over all that. And the Hebrew word for hover is to like shake. The word is like to grow small, like brooding over something. And then God kept saying, out of that mess, out of that chaos, out of that wildness, because the Holy Spirit was brooding, good, good. He created something good, and in the end, very good. I believe it was because God wanted us to know that in every situation that we go through that's the result of the fall, the chaotic wildness mess. I think of stuff even Anna, her family, has been going through health-wise. It's been crazy stuff. So many people have in the last couple of months around here, that in all the dark wildness that we can't see anything, the Holy Spirit's always brooding over, always hovering over, with God's very good intentions, which will ultimately be birthed. Romans said it kind of like that, didn't it? God doesn't cause all things, but he does cause them all to work together for good. But I love this image. And that's probably a scripture that more Christians, other than John 3:16, hang on to than any other verse. Because there's so much in this life that still seems at times dark and chaotic and wild, and we can't make sense out of it. But it's important for you to know that the Holy Spirit is brooding over that, like in anticipation, like something that creates something, and that God will create good out of it. And he put that at the very beginning of the story of humanity, even before we were created. for you and I to understand that he anticipates it all. And in it all, be assured, have his peace, that the Holy Spirit's brooding, and he will cause things to work together for good. Not just good, but in the end, it'll be very good. Amen?
Amen.
That's just who he is. Well, Father, we thank you that at the very beginning, foundationally, Bible College 101, you tell us that darkness and wildness and chaos isn't a threat to you, but it's the canvas in which your Holy Spirit broods over to cause very good things to happen out of your creativity. We bless you for that. We thank you, Lord, for your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.